You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome into Judd's Hockey Show. Another edition of Judd's Hockey Show coming off a Wild loss, just like a couple nights against Nashville. Tonight, the Wild fall 6-4, really 6-3. They scored a meaningless goal by Matthew Dumba late in this game that didn't mean jack. There's plenty to talk about here. Judd Zolgad, Declan Goff. Let's see. When you don't get good goaltending, aside from the second period, when you can't score goals consistently, and when you aren't very talented and don't work hard enough, you get a 6-4 loss that looks worse. And Declan, this was I believe the players did hold the old favorite in hockey. I think we closed the doors. I think after the game tonight, we closed the doors.
And boy.
We challenged each other to play a far superior game. And I will just say this. You are playing a Pittsburgh team. Now, I know that they have a big fan base. There were a lot of 87 jerseys, and there was a roar each time the Penguins scored. But I looked this up going into tonight. The Penguins came in here 6-7-3, and going into tonight, they were 2-7-2 in their last 11. And that included, as a big part of that, a seven-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So this was an anemic performance again, and I guess I'm just starting to question what this Wild team is capable of doing.
This might be in for a little bit of a rough season here, right?
Your goaltender,
right?
Yes, Dean.
Your goaltender is out. Your number one goalie, obviously, Marc-Andre Fleury. That's going to make life a lot easier. Filip Gustavsson looks like a backup. He is indeed a backup. There's nothing that's going to, I think, change over these next few weeks that won't prove that, unless he just plays absolutely lights out. To your point, a better second period. Played well in the second period, a little bit more engaged. But what
he did,
two goals on four shots or whatever it was in the first frame. Just a lot of softies that a lot of goaltenders should be able to stop. These weren't coming from endangered areas by any means. It was just bad goals overall. And then when you look at really, you know, Judd, this, and this is my point here that I've been trying to make, I think, for a long time is, you know, when guys like, I like that, you know, Brandon Duhaime has, you know, maybe taken a little step up here, but when Brandon Duhaime is one that's leading goals and scoring the offense, and I know Joel Eriksson Ek got two goals tonight too, where are your superstar players? Yep. Where is Kirill Kaprizov? Totally. Where is Matt Boldy? Matt Zuccarello, I thought, was atrocious tonight. He had one of his worst games I've seen in a long time.
MIA.
You can only get so far with depth. Everyone talked about depth. There was shirts printed about depth, and that was great. It worked for them for a long time. But the depth only can get you so far if your stars aren't the ones converting. You know, I almost tweeted this out during the first period, and then the Wild go and scored, you know, two goals in 11 seconds, but it made me look like a jackass when I tweeted this. But, you know, if Kevin Fiala was here, do you think you'd just automatically go from one of the most anemic offenses 5-on-5 to being even league passable overnight? I'm not trying to say Kevin Fiala wouldn't make an impact, but is Fiala's absence alone the sole reason why this team can't score 5-on-5 and score consistently on offense? I don't think it is.
No,
I think it's so much more than that. So when your goaltender's hurt and when it's bottom six guys that are trying to be the ones that have to score goals for you, odds are you're going to have a bad time.
So does Fiala's absence play a role? Absolutely it does. Is it the entire role? Absolutely not. Do Hartman and Greenway being out, does it hurt them a bit depth-wise? Certainly it does. Is that why they're not scoring goals? Absolutely not. The thing about this is John Merrill in the post-game locker room, Dex brought it up again tonight. He brought up the fact that the Wild has to find its identity. And here's the problem, though. Their identity has to be to work as hard or harder than they did last year. Remember, that team worked its ass off. This team plays like they play far too many periods like they have talent. They don't. That team last year worked. Like, they did a lot of good things, and they worked. And this team, Now, Dean liked the first period. I tend to disagree. I like the second period. I thought the first and third were not acceptable. And look, I mean, if your goaltender is going to sieve out, that's also part of the problem.
Yeah.
But I mean, John Merrill had a bad night. There was the one Crosby goal, I think, that came in the third period where John Merrill was sort of trailing Crosby, but he was close enough to try and tie him up. He doesn't. I think Gensel makes a great pass. It gets tipped in. That's a bad play by the defenseman there. So like this whole thing about, it's not just one thing, but I think it starts with this. I think it starts with how this team is playing. And I know it's a hockey cliche to talk about grinding, right, and effort, and all, you know, Phil laughs at that because it's like, okay, that's the biggest cliche. But the reality is this team has to play its ass off, and there are far too many periods and pockets of time where they are not doing that. I mean, here's the other frustrating thing too. So Ek scores two goals, including, and this is incredible to me, his first shorthanded career goal. I was astounded by that. Mm-hmm. Ek scores two goals, and if I'm not mistaken, let's see, he had four shots on goal to lead the team. He was back on a line with Foligno tonight, but last game he was demoted on purpose. Like, that didn't get talked about, but he didn't get moved off that line because they're like, you're playing great. He got moved off that line because they wanted to get something more. Tonight they did, but I mean, Boldy is, as you've talked about for a while now, Boldy is scuffling, and I think you also hit it. Matt Zuccarello and Kirill Kaprizov aren't being paid what they are to do this, and Zuccarello has been atrocious at times, and Kaprizov looks like he's sort of spaced out. So I'm with you. I start there. I think that there's a lot of guys who aren't talented who need to work more, but your first line, Declan, if they're not going to score, you know what? Sign me up right now for the Connor Bedard sweepstakes. I'll get in there. I'll absolutely love it. But if that first line is going to scuffle and not score and take periods off, then just forget about it. Like, yep. And it can't be. I understand that opponents are focusing on that line. They have to, as we talked about going into the Viking season, they have to overcome that. That can't mm-hmm. be, well, they're focusing on us. It has to be, you know what? Screw it. We're going to get our goals and our points. Right now, almost nobody is doing their job.
Well, 2 years ago, the first season post-pandemic, Kirill Kaprizov's first season, you know, the Knights made it a mission to, in that playoff series, that went seven games, by the way, to shut down Kirill Kaprizov and Ken the Wild beat you with their offense. Now, last year, I thought the Wild had a better, much better secondary scoring options to the point off the top. Fiala was great for them. Boldy stepped in and was awesome for them. Their secondary scoring was there. Now their opponents are doing everything they can to shut down Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello. But honestly, it's not really opponents, I think, shutting them down. They're beating themselves. The Wild are there. I mean, that line's beating themselves with getting ticky-tacky and too cute. And the Wild don't have the resources right now for anyone to beat you. That's the point I'm making with guys like Connor Dewar and Brandon Duhame, the ones that are getting rewarded with goals. Good for them. That's awesome. You know, that's great. They're scoring goals. They're not going to be the ones that can bail you out. You know, like I thought it was great for them to score two goals in 11 seconds, but that's miraculous. I mean, they've scored, what, five-on-five goals in the last week and a half before that. So you don't have the offense to do so. And I guess the only other internal option or the other option you can try is, do you put Marco Rossi up with them? Like, what the hell do you do?
Demoted again, fourth line. So they're clearly not going to.
No. So what do you, I mean, at that point, from your offense, what do you do at that point? That's why I told you last time we talked on Sunday that, do you split up Mats and Kirill Kaprizov at this point? I think you have to try something because both of them aren't synced up right now.
Yeah, but I mean, does that, the problem is this, like you go through this list and these lines, Duhame tonight, God bless him, he works hard, but he's a second line guy. The third line is Dewar, Mason, Shaw. Again, two guys that work hard with a struggling Boldy. And guess what? Those two guys aren't going to help Matt snap out of that. The fourth line, Rossi, Jost, who's probably gone here, and Sam Steele, who is the definition of a jag. So I don't even know at this point. Now, I thought after the first period, again, Dean said he liked it. I personally did not. I thought that they would split up that first line and at least give them a different center, at least do something. You know, I mean, part of this, too, is This team, for a large portion of this game, Dex, lacked any and all spark. Like, there was nothing. The second period, it looked like Dean or somebody had peeled the paint off the walls, and they came out and actually played pretty well. But besides that, the third period, they scored some goals, but it was a disaster. And I don't – and I thought the first – I think the last two games, the first period, it's not that they're not trying, but they certainly aren't coming out and playing as hard as they have to play. And I guess my point right now is this. Okay, when you're giving up goals, that can be rectified, worked on, and fixed. But you can't create goal scoring. Mm-mm. Like Dean tonight said, we did a good job going to the net. Okay, but you still really scored three goals again, not four, because I'm not going to count that last goal. So – all of these things just lead me down the path of, I don't know that the answer, like, can they play better and will they win some games? Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But long-term, can you have an answer that's going to put the 2022-23 Wild in the playoffs? I'm not so sure of that right now. I'm really not. And I hate to say that because we're forced to watch this team, but I just don't see the, I don't know that there is a magic line combination. I don't know. They're you know, Rossi, as they struggle to score, is being demoted. So what's the answer here?
You know, I don't think you're just gonna be able to flip a switch and make this happen overnight. And I don't think that this is a despicable team where it's like you don't, they're not fun to root for or anything like that. They're just, this is kind of a shrug emoji, right? This is kind of, that's kind of how I feel about this. It's kind of just like, you know, they're not despicable. There's not bad apples in the room that we know of, but I don't get that sense. It's not an unlikable group of players. And I honestly like Dean. You know, I don't think Dean is not doing his job up to par by any means. I know the record and situations can dictate that, and it's very cliche to just say the coach needs to be axed or the coach needs to go for that to happen. I think this is a well-coached team. But for whatever reason, I think these players aren't living up to their execution. And those players, I mean, I really mean the star players. I really mean Kirill. I really mean Mats. I really mean Boldy. The worst case scenario here is potentially playing out where you could potentially be a bottom five, bottom 10 team. And could you get a draft pick out of that? Yes. The bad part is you have to convince Kirill Kaprizov to stay here when that contract's up. And let's be honest, if this continues down a spiral, you can't afford really to go into even a soft rebuild at this point, because he's probably going to walk in three seasons, right? I mean, he's got two more years after this season under contract. So you can't really afford, and the Wild haven't had a superstar like this. That's what I think is so consequential here. And maybe you get a little bit too ahead of our skis. We're worrying about a problem 3.5 years from now. But he's the best player this franchise has ever seen. You can't afford to have seasons like this. The first two seasons were great. You made the playoffs. Last year, you probably should have went a little further than you did. But you can't afford really to just say for 2 years, I guess we'll just have to build it back up. That is not going to give you any leverage to keep your star player in Kirill Kaprizov.
And as far as the expectations now go, or I should say, not expectations, but as far as the potential for like things to change, all right? Here's your center depth chart for the Wild tonight. First line, Goudreau. Second line, Eriksson Ek, who very much is a mucker grinder and will score some goals, but that's his job.
Yep.
Third line, Connor Dewar, who is really a wing probably, like Goudreau, and really, if he's going to center a line, it should be the fourth line. Your fourth line is Rossi. And if Marco Rossi, if they basically are like, you know what, it's not happening here. He's not responsible enough defensively, blah, blah, blah. That's a huge deal, because there was definitely, I think, an expectation of him maybe not turning into a star. I don't want to say that, but definitely being a key contributor. And right now he is not. Now, the struggling Pittsburgh Penguins, let me give you their centers. And this is just to illustrate how different this is.
Yep.
Crosby, 2 goals tonight, 4 points, marvelous.
Won like 19 faceoffs or something tonight.
He's great. He's still great. He's an old man and he's great. Evgeny Malkin, second line. Jeff Carter, who is an old
classic
man now, but he's your Connor Dewar. He's your third line center.
Yeah, that's awesome.
and Teddy Bluger, who's a workmanlike player.
Purple Cows.
But Declan, that's the thing. And you tell me this. Okay, if Rossi's going to continue to play like this, which might get him demoted, but certainly is not allowing him to ascend, you're going to get maybe because he's a wing as well. Ryan Hartman back. Greenway's a wing, so he ain't playing center. The point is, there is no cavalry coming that I can see unless right. you try and give up a draft pick or a prospect with Dumba to dump some cap room and get a guy who can win, you know, some faceoffs and play with Kaprizov. And that's the thing is, I guess I don't know what the solution is. You're going to ebb and flow, and again, you're going to win some games. That's not the question here. But, like, as far as the solution, okay, the centers I just gave you, are there centers? And in at least two cases, they're really wingers.
Despite the Penguins, you know, coming into this game, I think like two wins in the last like month or so. Like they've been bad. They think they've like two in their wins in the last 10 games, whatever it is. That center group you listed right there, God, I would love it. I know everyone's average age there is basically, except for Teddy Bluger, the first three centers' average age is what, 35 years old?
Yeah.
But that is some depth right there, man. That is the depth. That's the depth I'm talking about. That's depth that can get guys that can actually score some goals and lead to things that drive offense. That's a great plot, great thing for the Penguins. And look, they've won, what, three cups in the last, you know, 12 years or so. They might be coming off the dynasty a little bit. They're not as the force they to be reckoned with that they once were. But when they see blood in the water here, or they see this Wild team, I mean, look, even though they're scuffling a little bit, if I'm the Penguins and I'm Sidney Crosby and I'm the one who's leading that locker room, obviously, this is an opportunity here to show we can get right back on track. And they did that.
And they got like, skill.
Pittsburgh literally saw the blood in the water and said, this is the perfect get right game. And I was obviously watching the local broadcast here tonight, and they were saying the same thing about Pittsburgh, that this is the perfect get right game. It's a struggling team. You know, the Wild are not the same, are going to, you know, be able to right the ship here and get right back on track. And I was like, maybe not so fast here when it's against Crosby, Malkin, Jeff Carter, Jake Gensel, Teddy Bluger. I mean, there's so many players up and down this list that are so damn good on the Penguins. So that's not it. There's no internal option. You know, you and I kicked around the idea of Bo Horvat a few weeks ago, and we love reckless speculation. And to be honest, maybe that's where we'll pivot. Reckless speculation might even be selling at this point. And we'll continue to have those conversations, but unless you're willing to pay that price, which I don't think Bill Guerin right now is willing to do, there's no one internally that you can get to fix this offense.
Absolutely. And there's nobody. And the problem is no matter how much you might be misled on this by some folks in this market, there's nobody coming back who's going to do that. There's nobody there. So I saw Flower postgame tonight talking to Crosby in the hallway. He has an upper body injury. Didn't look like he had any, like he didn't have a sling on or something. So I don't know if we're talking, he got hit in the head. I don't know exactly what we're talking. But if he's out for any amount of time, I'm convinced you're in huge trouble. Gustafson again played well in the second period, but Dex, some of those goals, those long range goals, and I know that there might have been a slight screen. That's no excuse.
No,
this is National Hockey League, baby.
Gotta make it safe.
Now, it's one thing if a puck is deflected. It's another, though, when you know, that first Crosby goal, it's a great shot, but it's glove hand side high. That is eminently stoppable. There was at least two other goals, if not more, that I thought were bad. If Fleury's going to miss any amount of time. I don't know exactly if this Zane McIntyre is good or not. I have zero clue. I'm guessing he's just a guy again. But Gustafson, at some point in time, if he continues to play like this, which we've seen, he's played a couple of good games, but he's also, you know, that Avs game, he didn't exactly, to use your term, stop the bleeding. I don't know how much you can send him out for a team that clearly is struggling with confidence because, you know, what Fleury was doing before he got hurt was doing a great job of giving you a chance, right? So, like, your confidence was still, okay, if we can score, and that's a big if. But tonight, that's not acceptable. This is the National Hockey League. You can't have a guy hemorrhaging goals when you know that it's going to take an act of God for you to score one or two goals most of the time.
I'll give you a little answer here on what to expect from the goaltending side in just a bit. But by the way, it is November 17th. It is a Give It to the Max Day for the last few hours here, and we are partnering with our friends at Patrick Schoonover and the Score for Patrick campaign. And if you're not familiar with Patrick's story, Patrick was a Bantam hockey player when he was 14 years old, and he got checked during a game. He went down on the ice, and it turned out he had cardiac arrest, and he passed away tragically, suddenly on the ice. And We had his dad on, Mike Schoonover, to talk about this great cause that they're raising awareness for heart defects, and they're getting screenings, and they're trying to make sure that you can detect these things. Actually, I lost my mother to a very similar ailment, but it wasn't in her heart, but it was in her abdomen. And these are great things that you can detect if you can detect them early. They're kind of, unfortunately, really fatal if you don't catch them early. So it's a great campaign. And if you'd like to help donate to that campaign, we're doing this for the next month here. It's in the YouTube descriptions right now, or you can go to givemn.org. It's givemn.org/scoreforpatrick. Donate anything you can. We already had one. His dad matched a $1,000 donation. So if you're willing to do so, please send us a donation. It's givemn.com/scoreforpatrick. From the goalie side of things, Judd, I saw Zane McIntyre play in college. Actually, I saw him when he was Zane Gothberg. He changed his last name towards the end of his tenure at North Dakota, I believe, to honor his late grandmother. And he was a great college goalie, pretty good for UND. But he's an AHL goaltender. He's not going to be able to come up here and save your season. He's up here out of necessity. He's up here because there's an injury to Marc-Andre Fleury. And I know Marc-Andre Fleury is placed on IR. So he's out for at least a week. I believe the minimum in NHL IR is a week. That's the retroactive, right? So at the very least, you're probably not getting him back until after Thanksgiving. So you got, and thankfully, what, just two games, I believe, between now and the next week. They play Carolina on Saturday.
And Winnipeg
on
Toronto the day after Thanksgiving. The day before Thanksgiving, they play the Jets here at the X because they started a 7-game homestand that's going on for weeks now. And then they play Toronto. And so if Fleury can come back, yes, he can come back for the game against the Leafs. As for Jesper Wallstedt, he's not coming up, folks.
No.
He needs to play down there, and you do not subject him to this garbage right now.
No, and I wasn't expecting Jesper to be called up here. Look, you were getting fine goaltending. I think if this was the opposite, even let's say Fleury was struggling really badly, and then he got hurt, right, and then he got placed in IR, and he had to turn to Gustafson, I might be able to talk myself into call up Jesper Wallstedt, see what you got. I could hear myself and be talked into that a little bit. Right now, it's not the problem. Can Jesper Wallstedt play center? Because if that's the case, then all right, okay, call him up and let's get him between Kirill and Mats. But there's no need to rush him up at this point.
And that's the other question. Again, to go back to it, what's the magic elixir here? Is there one? Is there anything that's going to get you to be consistently good enough? And I don't think that the Wild, I might be totally wrong here, I don't think that they're going to sink to the bottom of the standings automatically here. But the reality is this, those playoff spots are going to be incredibly tight. And with what's transpiring here and with the struggles in scoring, it's if you're Bill Guerin at some point in time, to what you said, Dex, you're going to have to make a decision too, which is, do I sell? Dumba. If you can get Dumba, if you can get anything for him pre-deadline, I think you do it now because there's not a lot left there, and he sure as hell ain't going to be with his current play re-signed. And do you trade off parts? Do you start to just try to look forward? And this can't, the one thing I will say is this, I don't think that as hard as this is to watch now, especially after, the 2021-22 season being fun to watch, this can't be a complete surprise to Guerin. Because the day he bought out Parisi and Suter, and then he sort of acknowledged it by going all in at the deadline last year, which was, okay, we still got some cap space, but we're not going to for the next 3 years after this. I think that was all an acknowledgement to this could get to be a rocky ride. Nonetheless, I'll come back to, I really would like to see Zuccarello and Kaprizov do more. I understand that Kaprizov's got a lot on his plate and he goes through magnificent stretches, but the last few games and tonight especially, I just didn't see anything there.
I can't confirm or deny if Bill Guerin would be doing this, but if he's going to want to be sellers at the trade deadline or he has to start getting moving, I suggest maybe making a stop at Lake Ridge Liquors in Bad Nisshuis off 694 and Rice Street. Okay, so there's a great selection of Surly products there, Judd, so Judd would be on board. There's tons of wine in stock if you're a wino. Just a great selection of booze, a great selection of beer, plenty of great options. And also, the best part is I go to the liquor store a lot. So I like to get rewarded when I go to the liquor store. And Lake Ridge Liquors has a rewards program. If you mention SKOR, S-K-O-R, when you sign up, They will comp you $5 in rewards on your next visit to Lake Ridge Liquors. It's off 694 and Rice Street. Join their reward program. Mention SKOR, S-K-O-R. They'll comp $5 on your next visit as well. Go check out Lake Ridge Liquors in Vadnais Heights.
Ooh, I like that. I like the comping thing. $5?
Oh, yeah.
That's Why not? That's a good slice of a sixer of Surly.
Absolutely.
Or a fourer, I should say. All right. Trav says, Jesper is nowhere near ready. Trav, I completely agree. And even if he was, I wouldn't subject him to this right now. It's not fair. That being said, it was hard to watch Gustafson tonight. Final thoughts from you, Declan, before we depart for the evening.
I mean, just if you can get passable goaltending from Gustafson over these next few games, that's all I can ask for at this point. And unless Kirill and Boldy and Zuccarello really snap out of it here pretty soon enough, it's going to be a struggle to score goals. They're now 0 for 12-2 on the power play. This lethal power play. Oh, finally, we got the power play fixed. Well, you couldn't score 5-on-5. That you were crutched to it. You were literally crutched to score on the power play. Now that's not working. Yeah. Now you're 0 for 12 on the power play.
Yeah. And let me tell you right now, taking Boldy off the first power play and putting Goudreau on the first power play, give me a bleeping break.
I agree.
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
Hire Judd for a little bit of consulting.
God bless Freddie, but he's a third-line player. We're forcing it here. You know what, though? I know that you personally don't care much. The 1978 retro reverse retros tonight.
Oh, I like those. Those are fine.
Chef's kiss.
Those were good.
Good. And here's the thing. I believe if you go back and check Hockey Reference, this was a nod to the 1978 North Stars, which was the first year that they were merged with the Cleveland Barons. They were absolutely atrocious. They were so bad that they got the first pick and took Bobby Smith. So let's just say, if you think to yourself, man, our team might not be good, Connor Bedard, baby, get yourself in that sweepstakes, game-changing player. You know what would make Kirill stick here? You know what would?
Connor Bedard.
That kid is special. It's a long shot. It's a huge long shot. It's a lottery system now. I understand that. But I do think that there is a parallel, because at that time, coming from the Ottawa 67s, Bobby Smith was a generational talent that Louis got. And it would certainly be nice if Bill Guerin could get a generational talent, because I got news for you. I don't think this team thinks that Marco Rossi is a generational talent. He might develop into a very nice player. I don't think he's a generational talent.
I agree. Hey, hit the subscribe button, though, for daily Great Minnesota jerseys. Sports entertainment, for Jersey Takes, for Lake Ridge Liquors. Thank you for sponsoring Judd's Hockey Show now, too. Yeah, the great game day. So your last thing here, Minnesota goodbye, as we like to do sometimes. So you're good. I know some people get conflicted with these reverse retros, because they say, well, it's not the Wild, that's the North Star. It's like, I don't want to pay homage, and I don't want to pay respect to something on the North Stars when that's not the Wild. What is your response to those people who say?
I actually tweeted this tonight. And by the way, if Twitter goes away, I'm going to be
crushed.
I'm going to say it's top five devastations in the Zolgad life, which shows you that my life's been pretty damn good. But I am going to be devastated.
Or you don't have a heart. Yeah,
I'm going to be devastated. No, I do have a heart for Twitter and my dog. So anyway, here's what I tweeted, and I believe this. Because I was trying to think, how can I contextualize this? Because for me, it's the comeback is always, you just love the North Star. Screw you. They're gone. Here's my comeback. The reverse retros that this team has now done two of, to pay homage to the North Stars, but it's not an N, so it's not a throwback jersey itself, because it still has the Wild logo, okay? Both of these have been superior to anything the Wild has designed for itself. The color schemes are better, and I know it's green still, but look at this color scheme and look at what they do compared to their green homes are as boring as it gets. their road whites I actually like more.
Yeah, actually,
but the two that they have done reverse retros are better. Mm-hmm. So my comeback is they're just better.
I agree. I like
them. Like, they're more attractive. And the one thing that they fixed on this reverse retro that they got wrong last time was the numbers pop.
Yeah.
Right?
It was hard to see them.
It was really hard to see them. These pop. And so this is not a North Stars thing. This is the North Stars designers and how they went about things were superior to the Wilds. So you should copy it.
Okay.
And it's not like the Dallas Stars care. It's not like
they don't care.
It's not close to what they're doing now.
No.
I personally find what they're doing not that great itself. So
no, I don't know. That's
anyway, that's what I say. I say the reverse retros are just better. It's a better look than what you do. Because those home, right? I mean, those home greens is, have you ever heard someone say, I really like the Wild's home greens?
No, I don't.
People couldn't stand the old red.
No, the red
Christmas
with the circle.
Red. Yeah, I didn't mind that.
I had a Brian Ralston jersey with the red in the circle.
I sort of liked the red a little bit more. People hated that, but yes, that's why. That's why. And Twitter, come on, don't go away.
Don't go away. Come to Judd's Hockey Show for more jersey takes, because that's what we might have to pivot towards if the Wild continue on this free fall and Judd's love for the North Stars in 70s and 80s hockey. So we could mix that in more as we do.
They're not sponsored right there.
No sponsor. No sponsor on that. Pass, shoot, score. Hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment on Score North. We'll be back next time.